Welcome to JBJS Ortho Corps. Listen as members of the ortho community, residents, surgeons, educators, staff, and patients share their stories about the experiences and people most important in their lives and the lessons they learned along the way. Ortho Corps is an audio archive inspired by StoryCorps and independently organized by the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
Well, this is Mark Swinkowski, the editor of JBJS, and I'm here with a special guest, Dr. Rick Mattson, Chairman Emeritus at the University of Washington Department of Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine. And I will just point out to the audience, my chief, when I was resident, as well as a faculty member there, and what we're really interested in speaking with Dr. Mattson about is his relationship with Dr. Charles Rockwood, who we just lost in the past year, a gentleman who had profound impact on the field of orthopedic surgery. And Dr. Mattson, of course, had a very extended, lengthy relationship with Dr. Rockwood over many decades. And I really just want to get, for the listening audience, Dr. Mattson's memories of how that relationship started and the book, the prosthesis, et cetera. Rick, we could just ask you to start how you first met Dr. Rockwood.
Sure, Mark. It's a pleasure to talk with you about Charlie Rockwood. So the father of American shoulder surgery is, of course, Dr. Charles Neer, and he invented the prosthesis that sort of spawned a lot of today's activity. But he was very insistent that anybody that was going to use that prosthesis needed to come and spend time with him. Well, among those people included me and Bob Cofield and Russ Warren and Charlie Rockwood. And so I got to know Charlie through Charlie. And we got to talking and we sort of hit it off. And the next thing I knew, I got a call, and I'm not going to try to imitate Dr. Rockwood's accent. Buzz Burkett can do that much better than I can. But he said, I'm going to put on a course in Acapulco. Would you and Ann like to come and join us? So that's a hard invitation for a university professor to refuse. So we go down there and we spend a fair amount of time on the veranda, sipping drinks and talking about stuff. And he said, you know, I think we ought to do some research and see if we can perhaps design a little bit better shoulder prosthesis than what's available on the market. And it ought to have a couple elements. For example, on the humeral side, we ought to be able to independently adjust the characteristics of the ball and the characteristics of the stem. So maybe we can have some sort of modular prosthesis. And then I just, you know, the glenoid seems to be loosening up a little bit. Maybe we can design something a little bit better, and maybe we can find a better material to make it out of. So as a result of that, there was a lot of correspondence back and forth, and with a great engineer by the name of Jeff Andrela, you know, we started working on things. But a lot of the research he enabled us to do here at the University of Washington, for example, the concept of the mismatch between the diameter of curvature of the ball and the socket, it was an important thing, because if there was no mismatch, then there'd be a lot of edge loading with a little bit of translation. And if there was too much mismatch, then the von Mises stresses would get to be too much and the prosthesis would fail. So we had a lot of fun with that. My colleague John Seidels and I got a chance to do some nice basic research there and came up with a PEG glenoid that served a lot of people for a long time. So that was pretty enjoyable, and really had a wonderful relationship with that team that included his clinical experience, which of course was vast, and our little basic science laboratory up here on the 10th floor that you're familiar with.
Yeah, well, I knew Dr. Rockwood well enough to know he's a pretty hard-driving individual and has a very high energy level. And not that you're any slouch in those two areas either, but what was that working relationship like? Was he badgering you? Was he, or were you leading him? Or how did that work out?
Well, a lot of early morning phone calls, and he would always greet me the same way. He said, how you doing, Turkey? And it was just that sort of thing. And he'd call early in the morning, late at night. Just as soon as an idea got in his brain, he would be on the phone and we'd be talking about it. And he was high energy, but how can I say it? It was a soft kind of high energy. You know, it was driving, but it was never driving in sort of the unpleasant sense. It was just driving with excitement rather than any kind of pressure. The next call I got after we got working on the prosthesis and things were out in use now, he said, you know, I don't think that any of the textbooks that are out there are worth a I'll let you fill in the word, but he said, I think we can do better. So I want you to be my partner as we put together a book, and we're going to call it just The Shoulder. And we're going to cover everything from congenital defects, embryology, tumors, trauma, arthroplasty, rotator cuff. We're going to put the whole thing in a book. And my job, he says, is I'm going to be the person that drives all the other people to get their stuff in on time, and you're going to be the person that edits all the stuff. I said, well, you know, that sounds good. And so the next thing I knew, we had not one book, but these two volumes here in 1990. And so in the span of those 10 years, we had helped work on the modular prosthesis. The first edition of the textbook had come out, and that was really an enjoyable thing. And we just recently completed the sixth edition. So just still having a lot of fun. And it's great to do that in memory of Dr. Rockwood. And I had a chance to fly down there and present him with a leather-bound copy of the sixth edition before he passed away. And I was happy I got a chance to do that.
That's great. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I knew Dr. Rockwood well enough to know he was an incredible golfer. Incredible golfer. And I can't imagine he didn't pressure you at some point to play golf with him. Did that ever happen, Rick?
Never did. I knew that golf was a big part of your life, his life, but while he was out golfing, I was out doing other things. I was trying to find a tennis court to beat the ball around us. So we didn't quite get out there. But I'd like to just sort of characterize him as what I call the Abe Lincoln of orthopedics. The reason I say that is he was a very powerful and influential man, but he was also a common person. By that, I mean, while I don't think he grew up in a log cabin reading books by candlelight, but he always put himself at the same level as everybody else. Hmm. And I remember one time at the academy where Dr. Nearest said, you know, the statement irreparable rotator cuff refers to the surgeon and not to the patient. And so Rockwood, who was fearless, not many people would stand up to Dr. Neer the way he did it. So he was very clever. He got up on the podium and said, you know, I'm sure that Dr. Neer can repair any rotator cuff, but I'm here to tell you I can't. And there are many rotator cuff tears that I just cannot repair. And sometimes I just go in there and clean things up and they do fine. But the idea was that he didn't want people to leave the Academy Hall believing that it was their job to repair every rotator cuff that came to them. He also was like Lincoln, was sort of a unionist, because, you know, the big thing for President Lincoln was to try to keep the nation together. And there was a time, and you remember it well, when orthopedics was starting to split off into 100 different micro societies. And I'm sure you were at this presidential address when he got all of his family there together, including his wife, Patsy, and his 9, count them, kids. You know that he had 8 consecutive sons followed by a daughter. not many Academy presidents can duplicate that record. But he just said, here's my family, and it's really important to me to keep the family together, and I want to keep the orthopedic family together as much as we can in the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. And as you know, it's been sort of a struggle, just like as you're mastering with the journal, you know, to try to keep the journal being the journal of orthopedics, the go-to journal. And he wanted the Academy to be the go-to society. You know a lot of this, but I mean, he was a great teacher, and he always wanted to teach. He had the textbook that he wrote was on care of the sick and injured, was the first publication of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, and really set the foundation for AOS being a major publisher of relevant material to orthopedics. And he continued that, but he was always teaching. He had a special place in his heart for people from south of the border. He always was reaching out to include them, and that's another similarity with Lincoln. I mean, he was an inclusive person. There was nobody that didn't belong as far as he's concerned. And he was funny. Apparently Abraham Lincoln, who I didn't know as well as I know Dr. Rockwood, but apparently Lincoln used jokes a lot as a way of disarming people or making people feel comfortable. And I remember the first, I was a member at large when he was president of the Academy Board of Directors. And to the first meeting, he came in with a double-billed hat. It had one bill going this way and one bill going this way. And on the top, it said, "I'm their leader. Which way did they go?" And so that was him. And he told jokes when we had him out here. I bet you remember, but when we had him out here as a guest professorship, he was telling jokes that were absolutely hilarious, but not repeatable by me in this context. But he used humor very well to make people feel comfortable. So I love that guy, and I will never forget him. And he was very, very kind and generous. And he was always welcoming to people to come and visit him. He cared a lot about his patients. He didn't give a hoot whether they were rich or poor. He was just interested in his practice, in his teaching, and in sharing what he knew with everybody else.
Well, Rick, that's a really appropriate comparison between Lincoln and Dr. Rockwood. And thank you very much for sharing your memories of a very great gentleman who had a wonderful influence on our specialty, and hopefully generations to come will remember that name. And because of what you've shared, we'll be able to have a glimpse of what he was like. So thanks for doing it, Rick. Greatly appreciate it.
My great pleasure.